All right, welcome into this Friday edition episode of the Chase and Big Joe Show, right here at 102.5 The Game. It's Friday, Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody's doing quite well. Let's bring it. I haven't seen him in a month of Sundays. The one and only Chase McCabe broadcasting from parts unknown today. Chase, what's happening?
I'm in a bubble is probably the best way to put it. But now I'm here. I don't know what you've been telling people where I'm at, but I've been very much under the weather, but feeling better today. And so I was like, I got to go hang out with the boys for a little bit. And just because I know that I'm feeling better, I'm absolutely bored to tears. So I need a little entertainment.
You're feeling better? Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad. I mean, your voice, did you lose?
I don't sound better.
Right. Did you lose the bass better in your voice? Can we get that back somehow, somewhere? Sorry about that, buddy.
We'll work on it. We'll work on it. But I'm excited to be back and feeling better and wanted to hang out with you guys for a little bit. We'll see if I can go the whole show, but I guess a little bit of a pitch count, but we're going to try our best.
I believe in you, and Dr. Crane believes in you, and Parker Kelly believes in you, and Connor Newt believes. Everybody here believes you can get it done today. So we're pulling for you, pal.
Well, we're gonna do it for Rowdy today. That's going to be the theme of the show.
All right, well done. We'll get into that in just a moment. But we're sitting here all watching McAfee because Jared Curtis, for some odd reasons, on the McAfee show with Nate Bargatze, and they were trying to get Jared Curtis to throw the football, but Pat McAfee will not shut up talking. he thinks he gets paid by the word. I mean, he's talking nonstop, and so Jared threw a football across the studio into a net or something. But anyway, all right, so let's get back to what we're talking about yesterday, the crushing news that Kyle Busch passed away at 41 years old. I only met Kyle Busch one time, and I'll tell that story later on. It's not important, but you have several times. And I got to tell you, it's at 41, it's tough. I don't care who you are, but, I mean, he just raced last week, right?
Well, not only did he race last week, but in the truck series last Friday at the Dover Motor Speedway, he did what he did 234 times in his career, and that was he won. And so that's what is so crazy about this. And if you go and listen to the interview when he got out of the truck, you know, he was doing his traditional bow and his celebration with the fans. And they asked him, you know, why do you love this so much and you know, embrace this so much? And he said very poetically, because you never know when it'll be your last one. Obviously, that hits a little closer to home today with the news that Kyle had passed away. And, you know, there are different reports that are out there that, you know, he had been battling a sinus infection and needed a shot after the race at Watkins Glen a few weeks ago. And, you know, but seemed to be doing better. But then there's a report that he was in the simulator on Wednesday in Charlotte and was having some issues. And that's when they called 911. And he ended up going to the hospital and unfortunately never came out. So it's just awful. I mean, it you know, whether you were a fan of his or not, and it is a, you know, take the media side out of it, as a race fan, I wasn't a Kyle Busch fan, but I respected him and knew what, you know, kind of a winner he was. And the thing is, the guy that I was a fan of my entire life, Dale Earnhardt, if there were anyone that was, a millimeter close to what Dale Earnhardt was, it was Kyle Busch. So, you know, I think that the racing world is certainly hurting. I've seen the tributes that they've done at Indianapolis, the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which things are going to get going tonight. Currently, the pylon that shows you, you know, the lineup and everything, there is one number on it right now. It is the number 8, and it's at the top of the pylon in tribute to him. And there's going to be even more tributes, you know, throughout the weekend, I'm sure. Joe Gibbs Racing on he hadn't been there for a few years, but cars, the numbers that he drove, they've put Rowdy on the door frame in his honor, which is really cool. So, it took my breath away when I saw that news that he had passed away. And, he was Rowdy. I mean, it was just it's just crazy to think. And, you know, you mentioned him being 41. Like, that's what's hitting me hard, because I'm like, this guy's barely 2 years older than me. And, you know, here I am coming off a respiratory deal, you know, like that. And it's just like, you get to listen to your body. Like, it, you know, I mean, just be careful, because even if it feels like a common cold, you never know what it might be.
So no chance of postponing the race this weekend?
No, I don't think so. Because, they would have done it already if they were going to do it, but no. You know, racers race. And I, you know, when people have asked me about that, I said, if you don't postpone it for Dale Earnhardt, then I don't think you postpone it for anybody else. And, you know, I think Kyle would want everybody to go out there and race. So,
well, you know, after Earnhardt passed, Rockingham was the next week. And do you remember what it did that Sunday?
It rained.
Rain and canceled the race to the next. So it was kind of like, all right, then we're going to honor Dale Sr. with this rain. I'll know, because I was there in Rockingham the next week, and it was like, all right, we're going to race all Monday. And then was it the third lap that Monday when Dale Jr. wrecked?
It was the first lap.
First lap. Yeah. Yeah. It was something, man. It's terrible. Anytime there's a loss inside. And look, all those, you've talked about this, and the close-knit community of NASCAR, there's close-knit community of pro football, all the sports, they got close-knit guys. But I think NASCAR, because they travel each week together in mass, this one hurts for all those guys. And look, I don't know much about NASCAR, and again, I only met Kurt Busch one time, but it is, you're reading all the tributes and everything that goes on, and it's just like, oh, man, this sucks. I don't care if you're racing or you're a postman or you work at Publix. At 41, man, that's just much too soon to pass away.
Well, and it is, and it's cool seeing, you know, Rowdy Forever stickers on a lot of the cars, and, you know, you're going to see that over the course of the weekend at Charlotte and Indianapolis. I think they're going to be, you know, honoring them and everything, and there's a lot of chances of rain this weekend, so you might see some of the same things happen that you referenced. But I want to, if you don't mind, tell a quick story. So when I got word that I was going to be doing the announcing at the Nashville Super Speedway with the return of the Cup Series, they were nice enough to fly me to Dover so I could kind of see how a race weekend worked, you know, from that aspect. And so I was sitting in the booth and everything, and this was still post-COVID, so things weren't quite, I was going to be the first weekend where I was actually stage side and not in the booth, you know, to do driver intros and things like that. And I was talking with the guys and they were like, look, there's going to be certain drivers that, you know, you're going to get a reaction, you know, from the crowd from. And so you want to really inflectuate that. And so of course, Kyle was one of them. And so I was really like honing in on that when I introduced him, and he was going to run the Xfinity race and then the Cup race. And I was like, okay, I can't wait for this, because I know as soon as I say hailing from Las Vegas, Nevada, that roar was going to start to come, because, you know, he was just a villain at the time. And so that was the first time that I got to experience that, of saying, you know, driver of the number 54 M&M's Toyota hailing from Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Kyle Busch. And just that boo that came out of the stands was phenomenal. And of course he ate it up. I mean, that was what he loved it. Like, he loved playing the bad guy role. But every time I talked to him, every time I had him on, it was a very distinct difference that there was Rowdy, the race car driver, and then there was Kyle, the dad, whenever you would bring up his son, Brexton, and his racing career. And they were two very different people. And he loved talking about his kids. He loved talking about, you know, Brex's racing career. And, you know, so anytime he'd come on, I'd go, all right, we need the Brex update. And he'd laugh and go, we got to give the people what they want. Right. And that's what, you know, he'd talk about. And so, there was a different side to him. He was always very, very cordial and nice to me when I dealt with him. And you know, so it's awful news. And thinking about Samantha and Lennox and Brexton during this time. And you know, I'll mention this too. His car owner, Richard Childress, this is twice he's had to do this now. And granted, it was different, you know, 25 years ago with his best friend, but still, I mean, that's really tough on a car owner that, you know, now is having to navigate these waters again that he would hoped he would never have to.
Amen to all that, brother. I'm watching now. Marty McGee is Ryan McGee is now on McAfee talking about that. I mean, I think that's the thing of like when you texted me yesterday, I was like, huh? I mean, that's the reaction. It wasn't like, oh no. I was like, it's just one of those things where it's so hard to believe that you're trying to comprehend a text message. And then Dr. Crane texted me as well. I'm like, what? And it's just one of those things. It's like, you think at 41, I mean, I know NASCAR is different as far as longevity in sports, but, you know, those guys can race into their 50s. Like, you know, most athletes are in the 30s, but I started thinking, you know, I know we talked about athletes passing away like in their prime and like when Thurman Munson passed away in the plane crash. I know Kobe in the helicopter, his career was done, but it was still, it hurt, man. Those things, because you buy into these guys and what they're doing. Like, oh, that's cool. I hate that guy. Oh, man, I love to hate that guy and all that. And it's just like, man, you don't realize the impact. And then you said it best, man. Things like this, we all question our mortality. It's just human nature, right? I'm 57. I'm surprised I'm still here at 57. But it's human nature. We do all that. And it's like, man, so now what we want, which we don't deserve, are answers, right? I mean, we don't deserve how he passed. We don't need to know that. I mean, it's just, I mean, we're curious.
Sure.
But it's just like, holy hell, man, he 41 years old. And then with Kyle Busch, I read this morning, and he won more NASCAR-sanctioned events than anybody ever, correct?
234.
And that's truck, Cup Series, and the Infinity Busch, whatever you call it, right?
O'Reilly, yeah. So that's more than Richard Petty. That's more than Dale Earnhardt. That's more than Darrell Waltrip. I mean, that's across all three. And I think he had 64 in the Cup Series, which is, you know, was awesome. What I'm going to be interested in, by the way, NASCAR CEO Steve O'Donnell will meet with the media at 4:00 Central today at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So I'm sure we'll learn a little bit more at that time when he meets with the media. But this has been brought up. I've seen this on the internet. They just announced the 2027 Hall of Fame class. Kevin Harvick, Jeff Burton, and then a legend, Larry Phillips. I forget, they have a name for that one, but those are the three inductees. I think that they should, you know, get the committee together and basically say, we're going to go ahead and put Kyle Busch into the Hall of Fame. He's first ballot. There's no question. There's no argument. Why wait 2 years? I mean, I think it would be the ultimate honor to Kyle and his family to go ahead and induct him with, especially alongside a guy in Kevin Harvick that he had many, many great battles with.
Is his brother in the Hall of Fame?
He is. Yep.
Okay. Yep. You know, and you're going to bring it up. I mean, I was there the night he smashed the guitar at the Speedway, and I'm not going to hide the fact it infuriated everyone.
It did.
Everyone. Yeah. And then I was there at the press conference when he came back, and Tammy Brewington's like, all right, Kyle's coming back. Please don't ask him any questions about the trophy. It's over. And first question, Larry Woody's like, Kyle, why did you do that? And what did you think you would gain from that? And all hell broke loose at that press conference in the press box at the very tiny Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.
And Super Speedway.
And yours truly, it was at the Fairgrounds. Yours truly was in the front, bending down with four microphones in front of Kyle Busch while all that went on. And I'm telling you, it was the most surreal interview process I'd ever been through, because his people are yelling at Larry Woody. Larry Woody's yelling at them. That Tammy Brewington's yelling at Larry. Other reporters are yelling at her. And I'm right in the middle of it, basically squatting down, holding microphones up. And it was just complete bedlam. And it was 1,000 degrees in that tiny little Fairground Speedway press, like, you know, it only holds like 10 people, and they're like 40 of us are in there. But that was a moment, man, where a lot of people in Nashville are like, all right, I'm done with him. And then you know this better than I did, but he worked really hard at crafting that I'm not such a jerk, I'm just I want to win vibe. Yeah. Is that right?
Yes, he did. I mean, because it's like you have brought up before, he hates to lose.
Yeah.
He just hates to lose. And I mean, when he, and I need to go and find it, but I asked him about that about 5 years ago. You know, has he seen that same thing in Brexton? And he goes, believe it or not, he was like, I'm serious when I say this. People are going to roll their eyes and laugh. It's worse with him than it is with me. And he's like, I've had to work with him on that. But, like, he hates to lose. So, but, yeah, no, I think he and when he won a few years ago at the Super Speedway, he kind of faked it.
Yeah.
But then he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. You know,
I think he knew. I mean, that day at the press conference over at the fairgrounds, I think he knew, like, oh, man, I messed up. But I'm going to continue my tough guy here and all that. Because we talked afterwards, like, yeah, he felt bad. You could just tell by his body language and the way he acted that day. He's like, I deserved this today. I deserved everybody yelling at me. I deserved the chaos for what I did. And but a lot of people are still crossed about that, man. And that's their prerogative, and I understand all that. But, I mean, he smashed a guitar. It's like he didn't run over 40 people on the interstate, right? I mean, yeah, it was dumb. He knew it was dumb, but there's a lot worse things he could have done that we could be mad about or anybody to move on. But regardless, that's one of those text messages yesterday. And again, I never knew Kyle Busch, that you don't want to get from anyone at any age, at any time, about somebody passing away. It's just like, wow, and it's just awful, awful, awful.
We will have Joe Williams on, who is one of the voices at the Super Speedway alongside me, join us at 12:30 to talk more about this. But we have a lot to get into today. 615-737-1025. What's our question of the day?
Well, our question of the day is, and hopefully we get more time into this, it's Memorial Day weekend, so we want to hear from you about somebody in your family that served, that passed away. It's what Memorial Day is about. It's not about your cookout or going to the lake or your road trip. It's about the men and women who served this country. So 615-737-1025, if somebody in your family served and you want to give them a shout out, let us know. Call in or text, and with Memorial Day weekend being here, let us honor them in this way and keep their memory alive. Because I've said this forever, soldiers die twice. They die physically, they die the second time, and we stop telling their stories.
Yep.
So may we never stop telling their stories. And if we could be a small part of that today to tell people how you feel about a loved one that's passed away that served in the military, let us know. 615-737-1025.
We'll have more on that and so much more coming here on the show. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
All right, welcome back to the Chasing Big Joe show right here on this beautiful Friday in Nashville in America's Music City. Chase, Dr. Crane, and myself wish you all a very happy Memorial Day weekend. So, Chase, let me clarify again that I might have confused you. When Kyle smashed...
Not hard to do, by the way.
When Kyle smashed the guitar at the Speedway, he didn't talk to anybody. There was no press conference, and he avoided all that. The next year, when he came back to town, he held a press conference at the Fairground Speedway.
Ah,
it was
okay.
Our first chance to talk to Kyle afterwards. He was promoting some race that was going on at the Fairgrounds. A lot of local media showed up there that day to talk to him, and they came out and said, hey, we're not going to discuss the guitar smashing. No, don't bring it up. Please don't do that. Oh, you'll be asked to leave. And they're like, okay. And the first question was from Larry Woody. And Larry Woody basically said, hey, man, do you have any regrets about smashing the guitar? And I'm telling you, all hell broke loose that day. And, you know, you've been up there in that small room at the Fairground yep. Speedway. And there was no air conditioning, people yelling at each other. And then Kyle just kind of stood there. And I remember looking at Kyle Busch. He was like, yeah, this sucks, and all this is going on because of what I did. And I kind of felt bad for him because I know what he's trying to do, be funny, be cute, at the Speedway, smash the guitar. But when you get a guy like the late Sam, was it Sam Busch?
Sam Bass.
Sam Bass, I'm sorry.
And so Joe Williams is going to join us in a second, was standing right next to him when it happened.
Yes.
So he can tell.
Yeah,
you know, he can kind of tell his perspective.
Well, we went and interviewed Sam Bass the next day, and we at the Starbucks in Green Hills, and he was upset. He's like, you know, that's a lot of pride that you put in that, and that's a big honor. And he was just kind of disappointed that that happened. But, you know, like that's a long time ago, but it's just weird because I'm in the middle of all this and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And so, yeah, Joe's the perfect guy to talk about all this that went on and the impact that Kyle had locally when he raced here.
I saw this stat, wins by organization for Kyle Busch in the Cup Series, 56 with Joe Gibbs Racing, 4 with Hendrick Motorsports, 3 with Richard Childress Racing, 90 with Joe Gibbs in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, 11 with Hendrick, 1 with Braun Racing, Craftsman Truck Series, 48 with Kyle Busch Motorsports, 16 with Billy Ballou Motorsports, and 5 with Spire Motorsports, which is who he sold Kyle Busch Motorsports to, and they're rebranding as KBM this week, which is really cool.
I saw a thing early this morning. I meant to screenshot. I didn't do it. About NASCAR drivers passing away. Obviously, Davey Allison, Alan Kulwicki, you know, Greg Biffle a few months ago, and then about just out, off the track, the deaths that happened. And they were like, of all those, the deaths, like with Dale Sr., that was accepted in a way because they passed away doing what they absolutely loved. And I was like, yeah. And then the other ones were on, like Kulwicki and Davey were going to, you know, were going to be racing, and they unfortunately passed away. But they said the ones who passed away on the track, don't mourn for them because they passed away doing what they love, which is really hard not to mourn for some driver that you're invested in and that, like you, Adele Sr., and other people, because they were doing what they absolutely loved. And how fortunate, I know it sounds weird, but to pass away doing what you love, I mean, it was just like, man, okay. It made you think like extra hard, like, wow, on all this.
Well, it's almost like you feel like he's just been taken and not, you know, whereas with Dale, it was kind of like he died going for the win in the Daytona 500. He died doing what Dale did. And so it's, I think some people kind of look at it that way of there's no answer, you know, right now of why.
Right.
And so it's, that's what makes it so difficult, but
you're right, man. You're right.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Joe Williams, coming up, here in just a few minutes and kind of get his perspective on this. As you listen to Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. And talking about the life and times of Kyle Busch, the NASCAR driver that passed away at the age of 41 yesterday. And we say hello now to my partner in the booth at the Nashville Super Speedway, Joe Williams, who has been around Kyle many, many times over his illustrious career. Joe, how you doing?
I'm still not sure.
I know.
This one has hit me a little, and Becky, my wife, made the comment that this one's hit you a little rougher than most.
Well, it has an eerie, similar feeling to how many people in the racing world and in the world in general felt probably on February 19th, 2001.
You know, Chase, it's funny, and Big Joe, I think, hit it on the head. I made the comment last night. I've lost a lot of friends and heroes over the years in this business. You know, Dale and Clifford Allison, I understood. They Neil Bonnet, they died in wrecks. They were doing what they loved to do. Alan and Davey, I kind of understood because they were either going to do what they loved to do or to be a part of what they loved to do. Those I understood. Bobby Hamilton, a good friend, long illness, and when he passed, I understood. This one has just, you know, Chase, it's funny. You're right. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I was not always the biggest Kyle Busch fan in the world. His runs at Nashville, there was a, trying to remember which year it was. He had a then Busch race won in the five car for Hendricks before Clint Bowyer got into him and Michael Waltrip went.
2005.
That was five. Yeah. Yep. Michael Waltrip.
Goes four. From, 2004.
Yeah. You know, he goes from sixth to winning the race in the final half lap, which, you know, this sees parked sometimes for you, but I thought Kyle got robbed on that one. I was in victory lane waiting to do the victory lane interview in that hot god awful hot night in August of 09. And, you know, I'm not, you know me, I'm not a violent guy, but when he took that guitar and hit the ground and just pounded into the ground, I gave a very serious thought to just running over, and I was going to attempt to beat him, to a bloody pulp, but I knew it in my career. I took about half a step, and Sam Bass grabbed me, put his arm around my neck. He said, "Joe, he doesn't understand. He's a kid."
Yeah.
And in the second and third swings, I looked and I realized he has no earthly idea what he's doing. His sponsors left, dignitaries left, track officials left. I mean, everybody split from Victory Lane. And I looked at Sam's, I'm just not going to talk to him. He can do it. He said, no, he said, go talk to him for me. And I remember him, and the Tennessean had a great picture, and I've got it stolen somewhere. The look on my face went, hey, why? And he says, well, you're just trying to do something different, kind of a rock star. He had no earthly idea, Chase,
yeah,
what he had done. And a lot of folks don't realize that in the couple of months after that, not only did he replace the guitar, and that's a $25,000 guitar, by the way. That Gibson Les Paul custom with the Sam Bass design was a $25,000 guitar. He replaced about five of them because he gave one back to Sam, actually, and apologized for tearing his original part.
Yeah.
He gave $50,000-$75,000, I think, to Metro Public Schools music group. And he did his best, I think, to try to make that right. But a lot of folks didn't see that. All we remember, is that. And he did some stupid stuff. I mean, crashing Ron Hornaday at Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. But, it's funny. I keep going back to, he started in this. Landon started when he was 16. He started when he was 18. He's 41 years old. He's got 20, that's a career. 22 years anywhere is a career. He's 40 years old. He had a career already. And if I'm rattling too much, tell me.
No,
you're good.
But I think the turning point for me, he married Samantha, and that seemed to get a hold of him, and he started to mature a little bit. And I actually got to talk to her, 5 years ago when he won his 100th race.
Yep.
And Joe, you were talking about, he did the fake. No, I'm not. But I will tell you what struck me about that. I got to talk to her, but while he was pulling the car in, and thanked her because they obviously had gone through some real infertility issues. And she had written a book that was very, very important to my daughter and her husband who were going through it. And I thanked her for that. And we had a great conversation. And I said, thank you for what you've done to him. And she just smiled and said, he's growing up. But the crazy part was, I'm still a little concerned about doing this interview. And he's got out of the car and he's doing his Kyle Busch thing. And all of a sudden, Brexton comes up. And guys, when he saw Brexton, everything changed. His crew didn't matter anymore. His car didn't matter anymore. The trophy didn't matter. The 25,000 people in the stands didn't matter. The national TV and radio audience waiting for an interview didn't matter. All that mattered was Brexton. And for 2.5 minutes, it was just he and his son celebrating a victory. And that's when I thought, this guy's going to be okay.
Joe Matt, Williams. Oh, I'm sorry, Joe.
I said, don't take away. He was when he went to work, when he put the helmet on and went to work, he was different.
Yep.
He was still a curmudgeon. He would crash you to get what he needed. On Sundays, it's funny, Monday through Saturday, he loved his crew. And on Sunday, he hated their guts. Talk to him like that anyway. But everybody just apparently, that was the guys who worked on his crew that I've talked to just asked, that's Kyle. He was just that determined to win.
Joe Williams is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. Joe, not to belabor the point about the guitar smashing, but that's how a lot of people discovered Kyle Busch. And you're right. I mean, he was a kid 20, what, 24, 25 when he did all that. And, you know, the press conference when he came back, and you could just tell his body language that he was like, yeah, this sucks, and the reason they're all here is because of what I did. And I just, I don't know, maybe that was a turning moment for him, small one, to say, hey, I and little mea culpa here that I did that was wrong. And I don't know, I just thought after that moment, a little bit changed possibly, but you knew him a lot better than I did.
Well, I don't know. I knew him a lot better than you did, but I could read him. You know, the funny part about that was everybody in that room, you, me, everybody else knew that if anybody was going to ask a question, it's going to be Larry.
Right.
I mean, that's God, I love Larry. But that's Larry. He is going to ask the question no matter how hard it is. And yeah, you could tell when Kyle came in and saw Larry, you could see a change in his body language. And I think he had tried so hard to put it behind him. It's kind of like ripping off a scab. And Larry asked the question, and everybody went crazy, and you could just tell.
Right.
I mean, you could just tell. And as a matter of fact, I remember you because I was a little bit worried about you because you were down low and the closest of all of us to him. And I thought, you know,
yeah,
if he gets violent, Big Joe's in the middle. He's the one that's going to catch this.
Right.
Lubin's in the middle of this.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very surreal. Go back a second about the replacing the guitar. I've never heard that story. I'd never heard that he gave more money and replaced the – I don't know why I've never heard that.
But that's the problem. He didn't want anybody to know. That was one of those things. There was no PR end on that. That was something – you know, and the funny part was there was no PR end on it because in his defense, God help me for defending him. But in his defense, he was danged if he did and danged if he didn't, okay? If he did this quietly, nobody ever knew, and they still hated him for busting the guitar, all right? If they make a PR thing out of it, well, they still hate him because he's just trying to buy his way out of it.
Right.
So there was no way for that to be – there was no – he was in a trick bag. But, no, I mean, he replaced – I think he had one made for himself, one made for the team, one made for Sam. I guess he's running for JGR at the time. This kind of thing. And then, like I said, I mean, and it's the, oh man, I should know the name of the school over on 8th Avenue, but it's the Metro School of Arts for Music. And yeah, I mean, he wrote him a check for like 50 grand. Out of his pocket. This wasn't team money. This was Kyle money. And the other thing, you know, it's stories like that nobody knows. I'll give you another one. Clay Greenfield up in Springfield has done a good job over the years of taking minimal backing and running the truck series. Okay. So several years ago, he had broken his wrist and he was trying to get over it. And he and Kyle were actually working out at the gym at Daytona and got to talking about Kyle's recovery when he broke his legs and his feet in that horrible crash at Daytona, if you remember that one. A lot of folks forget about that one. And
I was there.
Actually, yeah, well, Kyle starts, well, we did, you know, my guys did this, this, and this, if you tried. And he said, you know, it was really a nice conversation. He appreciated it. And he'd gone back to his motor coach. Clay said about 4:30 that afternoon, there was a knock on the door. And he, hey, how you doing? He says, I'm fine. I'm so-and-so. I'm Kyle's trainer. He asked me to come see you and chat with you a while. Hey, try this. But you don't hear those, right? He didn't have to do that. Obviously, Clay's kids are into some of the quarter midget and the legends racing now, as is Brexton. And they've apparently become pretty good, you know, they became pretty good friends because their kids are friends. And that's what Clay said, you know, at the racetrack in those situations, he's a dad. He's not Mr. Bow when I win and you can hate me and I like it. He's just a dad. And, you know, he very quietly came in last month and we didn't do a whole lot with it because he didn't want a whole lot done with it, quite honestly. We tried to respect that. But he came in last month for the INEX Spring Nationals, and he won two races up at the rim, up at Highland Rim. Didn't hear a lot about that, though, did you? Yeah.
No, I didn't know that at all.
Didn't hear a thing about that, did you?
Nope.
The reason is he was running a Legends car. Brex was running his Bandolero. And I mean, they brought all the stuff. I mean, it's, you know, he's still a NASCAR superstar. But they brought all the stuff and created a little compound. But his whole reason for being here was to race, have fun, spend time with his children. Sam and Samantha and Lennox all came. Of course, when they moved to Nashville on Thursday and Friday, he had to go race Brexton State. But, yeah, you didn't hear a whole lot about that. And I think that was just kind of the respect he had earned as a dad to be left alone to do that. But, yeah, he won two races up there. He won two Legends races up there.
Wow, that is pretty cool. And a total of 5 wins at the Nashville Super Speedway, 2 in the Xfinity, or now O'Reilly Series, 2 in the Truck Series, and 1 ARCA. Never got it in the Cup Series, which I think surprises both of us, but did a lot of winning at the Nashville Super Speedway. Partner, appreciate it, as always.
And I know you're short on time. You know why he won an ARCA race here?
I don't.
He won an ARCA race here. He was 17 years old because when Rick Hendrick was going to bring him in, he was 16. And that's when NASCAR said, oh, wait a minute. No, you got to be 18 to run our national series. Mm. So he wound up running ARCA just to get super speedway experience. And, of course, it was ARCA. He spanked them.
Oh, yeah. He was dominant in that 2003 race.
I'm a little bit concerned. Joe hit it on the head. You know, when Earnhardt passed, you had the race got delayed. Rockingham race got delayed. And there's a piece of me that is concerned that if they get rain in Charlotte and they aren't able to do some of the things that they want to do in Charlotte, we'll wind up doing it next week in Nashville.
Yeah. Wow. I think there will be some of that next week for sure.
I guarantee there'll be some, but it could be even bigger. But I'm still trying to come to grips with it. It sounds like I've been listening to you guys for a while. Sounds like you guys are too. It just TMZ has released what they claim is the 911 call.
Yeah.
That, you know, he was short of breath, coughing, hot, felt like he was going to pass out when they called for an ambulance. So I don't know, man. It's 41 years old, a man in great shape. The best advice I heard is something you said earlier, listen to your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter what your age, listen to your body.
100%. I appreciate it, my friend. I will see you next week.
I'm sorry, guys. Y'all have a great afternoon. Keep up the good work, man. I love this show.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Bye, y'all.
Appreciate it. My partner, Joe Williams, he'll be in the booth with me at the Nashville Super Speedway next week. I'm always stuck next to a Joe and happy to do so.
At least that Joe's got talent. Hey, listen, he makes a good point because that whole show comes here next week, right? I mean, starting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, they're here. So it's just kind of crazy thinking, like, he's not going to be part of this. I don't mean to sound really bad here, but have they announced a replacement driver for him?
Well, they had already done that when the news came out that he wasn't going to be able to race this weekend. Austin Hill is going to drive his Cup car this weekend. So I don't know what that looks like moving forward, you know, after this weekend, but I'm sure some of that will be addressed, you know, by Richard and the team throughout the weekend.
Man, I'm watching the news. It's everywhere just because he was 41. I mean, it's just like the unknown. I mean, anyway, Joe summed it up really good right there.
Yep, that was very good stuff. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. Appreciate just the Kyle Busch talk for this first hour. You know, truthful, I think it's healing for us too. I mean, especially, you know, I kind of live and breathe the sport, and it's just still surreal that it's that he's not here anymore and won't be here next weekend.
Hey, let me ask you this. Crazy. Is it the big race is this weekend, the Coca-Cola 600, is that right?
And yep.
All right. Huge. I mean, it's Is this weekend bigger than Daytona in February?
No. I mean, for NASCAR, no. For racing, probably yes, with the Indianapolis 500. But
for NASCAR, it's not.
No.
So it's probably number two?
Yeah, probably.
So is it good that the Nashville Super Speedway hosts next week's race right after this?
Yeah.
Kind of a probably bounce so. Forward, I mean, kind of a like to the second half of the season?
Yep. That's a good way to look at it. But yeah, but I think that's an interesting way to look at it for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, but I think people can heal by watching racing. I mean, that's what you want. And you know that whoever wins that race is going to have some sort of, you know, the bow or some sort of tribute.
Right. Let me ask you this. I was golfing with a guy yesterday, a big race guy. He goes to Talladega. So evidently there was this beef between Dale Jr. and Kyle Busch for years.
Yep.
He said at Talladega, when Kyle Busch would come around, like the whole section, he's like, must have been 20,000 people all stood up and would flip Kyle Busch off.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Joe, I've been to a million sporting events. It was the most fun, crazy, bizarre, surreal thing I've ever seen. Like everybody in unison, like the wave, stood up and flipped off Kyle Busch as he came. And they said they did it like the whole race.
Oh, yeah. Well, because in 2000, I think it was 2008 at Richmond, Junior and Kyle were fighting for the win. And Kyle basically blatantly wrecked Dale Jr., and, you know, didn't show any remorse over it and all that stuff. And they had, they did not have a good relationship for a long time, and they finally worked it out. And that was something that Dale Jr. Posted on Twitter. I'll actually read it. It said, Kyle and I had a really challenging existence for many years, but we luckily took the time to figure out our differences. And that was something he instigated with a conversation in his bus around how we each managed our racing teams. I was super eager for us to get on better terms, but it was he who made the effort for that to be possible. We did some media together also to laugh through some of the things we put each other through many years ago. Most recently, we had even been discussing him running my late model at Wilkesboro this summer. He seemed extremely happy, and we had planned to meet up next Thursday to get his seat to the shop. He laughed over the idea of his fans and Junior Motorsports fans having to cheer in unison during that race. Kyle was one of the greatest drivers in NASCAR history. No one can deny that, but he was also a father, a husband, a brother, a son, and a friend to many. My heart is broken for the Busch family. I will never be able to make sense of his loss, and I'm thankful that we had found a way to become friends.
Nice. It's got to be a bit surreal for Dale Jr. I mean,
oh yeah,
right?
Oh yeah. I am very sure. I will say this. I want to play one of my all-time favorite Kyle Busch moments. So the week before, he and Joey Logano had gotten into it, and they had to go meet with NASCAR. And NASCAR was like, boys, you got to play nice and everything. And so they literally, Kyle walks out of the NASCAR hall, and the media is waiting on him. And supposedly Joey's hanging behind the door. And this was the exchange with the media. Okay, he doesn't have it yet. Okay, we'll have it in just a second. But it was pretty, it's pretty funny.
What year is this?
I don't remember. Probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
Well, maybe before COVID. Let's take Dustin's call real quick while Dr. Crane gets that ready. Dustin, what you got?
Hey, guys. I grew up watching NASCAR, and I quit. I was a Dale Jr. fan and big Dale Earnhardt fan. And, you know, I remember that. The day Dale Earnhardt died, as a kid, what year was that, 99?
01.
01. So I was born in 88. What was I, 13? It didn't feel real till the next day, and I seen the newspaper, you know, and I still got that newspaper flipping. But I was a Dale Jr. fan, Dale Earnhardt fan, Brad Keselowski fan, so you already know where I'm going. I hated Kyle Busch, but, buddy, deep down, we all love Kyle Busch. He made NASCAR so much better, especially with Dale gone. He was the new Dale, and it's just he was a cocky guy, an a-hole, but he's a father and a husband, and I think you see past that, he was a really good guy. I think you give the shirt off of his back to anybody out there in the NASCAR world. He will be missed. I've watched some here lately, but not much. You know, maybe I'll get back into it. Maybe it's sad to say, but because Kyle's gone, you know, just to see what's going on or anything. But he definitely made my time watching the sport great. I remember I went to Bristol one time and Brad Keselowski come out and he was announcing himself and he said, "I'm Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch is an A." And the whole crowd went wild, and if Kyle Busch wasn't like that, we wouldn't have had that moment. I love his style of driving, his intimidation, and he's so good at Bristol. All the tracks, I think the only one he didn't lock down was the one where the air helped you, where everybody had the same speed. If the Talladega and Daytona is where you're restricted, but yeah, I mean, it's sad. I hate it. I love to hate him, but I actually deep down love the guy, and I hate that this has happened.
I think that's a great call, Dustin. Appreciate it. And I think that's how a lot of people feel.
Yep.
Exactly real quick, right. this was the exchange.
Everything's great. Looking forward to a fantastic weekend here in Phoenix. Back to the racetrack.
What did Logano do wrong? Will you race him any differently going forward?
Everything's great. Looking forward to getting back to the racetrack and getting into my race car.
Are you okay with Joey moving forward?
Everything's great. Really looking forward to getting into my race car and getting back here at Phoenix.
Speaking of that, are you glad that this is over? Racing.
Everything's great. Really looking forward to getting back into my car and being here in Phoenix.
That was the best part.
That is 1,000 times better than Marshawn Lynch's nonsense at the Super Bowl. Yep. That's really funny. Because well, he sounds so energetic, like, hey, thanks for the question. And then he gives you that answer.
So the story was that NASCAR, you know, basically was like, you know, if you get asked about it and just say you're excited to be back at the racetrack and, you know, everything's good and all that stuff. And so he took it to a completely different level.
Nice.
And it was fantastic.
Oh,
we will move on to some other things, but we'll have Chris Sanders join us coming up next here on Chase and Big Joe 102.5 The Game.